Okay, good morning. Let's get together for our worship together, and we'll begin with a word of prayer and move into our time this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thou art all glory. It is overwhelming to us each passing day of our life when we take the reality of Your glory. How that Heavenly Father just puts everything else into secondary and lower. We think about Your glory. Pray that You're glorified this morning, our learning, and our honor glorifying. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, we've got an interesting study this morning. In fact, the next few days, next few Sundays, and today, our title is The Word of Truth. And we're going to sing the wonderful words of life. We're studying the Word of Truth. Here's the wonderful words of life, page 142, 3 verses. So let's stand and sing together, Wonderful Words of Life. We have a few things we need to cover in regard to prayer, and we've got some right here in our own assembly. Pat Thompson is, or actually McMillan, has COVID-19, so needs to be under our prayers. And Phil is now confined to it, because he's in that same deal, and her family up in Indiana. They need your prayers. So this is a prayer in that respect for all of them. Excuse me. Now, do we have any other prayer requests that I'm aware of? Not aware of? Yes.
So Ben finishing up strong for his basic training.
Yay.
He finishes Thursday.
All right.
So we don't know when we'll hear from him, but we expect to hear from him Thursday.
Thursday.
And Nick, continue to please be in prayer for Nick. He's having some good days, some bad days. But he just got over, I think, some sort of bug on top of his already challenging health issues. Mm-hmm. And then if you would be in prayer for Autumn Switzer, who is the young lady that has lung cancer. She had a good report this week from her doctor. They're continuing to reduce the medication, and the tumors are staying stable.
How old is she now?
She's 19.
19, okay.
And they're hoping they can continue to reduce the medication, but just from a mental standpoint, her mom was very pleased. Mom and dad were pleased with the report that nothing's growing. It's challenging to her because nothing's shrinking either. And so for her, there's pain involved with that, and there's right now it's mentally no line of sight to that going away anytime soon.
Okay.
So for Autumn.
Please.
You know, the Lord, she's a wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful, faithful believer.
Okay.
And she leverages, she uses this often to spread the gospel to others and have conversations. So.
Very good. So please be in prayer. And in prayer for Nick in school, getting ready to start. And any other... yes?
This is for our the church internet ministry. Our three-year contract with the remote server is coming up in the early August. And this is 2 weeks away. So if we can start praying now so that I can try to approach them to see if we can get 50% discount like last time, that would be awesome. But if not, then just pray for God's guidance on what to do, because I have approached some other cheaper alternative, but they don't want to take us because we're too big. Well, our traffic is just too much.
This church has always been too big.
Amen. So please be in prayer and keep us posted.
Yes, we'll do.
Okay. Any other prayer requests? All right. We've got, talking about the time, about the size of our church and all, we have things we need to get done. And one of those is taking care of the sound system. And so the finances there. Finances here, finances getting ready for our young people. So let's spend a moment to prepare ourselves for the offertory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity that we have to serve you. How grateful we are for the freedom we enjoy in this world, in this country. There are places in the world right now, Heavenly Father, that do not have this kind of freedom. So we are so thankful for it. We pray, Father, we'll continue to use our freedom to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray now you receive the offerings that we're about to receive for the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you. All right, first of all, does anyone not have two handouts? There should be a smaller one on glory, and then the major one, the word of truth. So anybody not have both of these? All right, so we got those. So let's begin with the word of prayer. We're going to need to be in prayer. We've got some powerful teaching going on, points in the teaching from the Word of God that we need to be aware of. So let's go into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, when we think about the purpose of our life as Christians, yes, we tell others of Christ, but Heavenly Father, the heart of it is the glorifying of you, the offering of glory for who and what you are. Pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to these things, edify our lives. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, We're in Ephesians 1:12. Now, in a moment, when we finish this one, we'll go into Ephesians 1:13. But a couple of months ago, or weeks ago, we didn't quite finish Ephesians 1:12. So we're going to finish on glory and then go into the next one. Yes?
Before you get started, can I add to the prayer list? I forgot to,
absolutely,
to mention Jay, Lori, and family are traveling back from Florida today. So prayer for Journey and Mercies, because I know they're probably having rain all the way.
Are they due to be back here?
Not till evening time.
But today sometime.
But today.
Okay, good. All right, we'll be in prayer.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, so Ephesians 1:12. So let's read Ephesians 1:12 and then move into our study on glory. To the end, that's to the end, coming off of verse 11, to the end that we were in the first to hope in Christ. In other words, before the age of Gentiles, before the age of Israel, and as we go into this, the church age. So that's what's being talked about here. First to hope, we're the first ones to hope in Christ. Would be to the praise of His glory. This refers to every believer in the church age. We in the church age have the grace of God to live in the greatest time in history up to this point. Now, the time period of the tribulation or the millennium, that'll even be greater. But as far as where we are in history right now, we have the privilege of being in the greatest period of history. Whether you live under the greatest depends entirely on your living in the power of the Holy Spirit and pressing on to maturity by means of study of the Word of God. Whether you live under the great period entirely in your entire life depends on you and a couple of things. One, power of the Holy Spirit by faith. Secondly, studying of the Word of God. The purpose of God is that we should praise the glory of God. I'll be talking about this in different ways. But the purpose of God is that we should praise the glory of God. Glory is referred to 8 times in just the first 3 chapters of Ephesians himself. Therefore, we will set aside from the other references to glory in the Bible and concentrate on the glory of God. So let's go to just a few points. Point 1, the fundamental idea of glory. The fundamental idea of glory is reference to the divine attributes, to the visible magnificence of His being. The highest aim of the word of God, the highest fulfillment of the Word of God, is to declare the glory of God. I ask you to slow down in your thinking at home, day in and day out, and give praise to the glory of God. And give thanks for this, pray for this person, pray for these things, pray for America, but you want to give time to praise for the glory of God. Just meditate on Psalm 19:1. The heavens are declaring the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Don't spend your time arguing with the creation of the universe. You believe it, part of your life, but don't spend your time arguing about it with other people. Just sit. Sit in the silence and praise God for the glory of Him in creation. When you have children in your life, be sure that they praise the glory of creation of God, including themselves. And then what happens is, when you get to them to the point where they have the gospel, it'll be easy for them. It'll be right for them to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, if they've been grown up, even as little children, with the glory of God. Now, Romans 9:23. We're going to be looking at a few different passages. Romans 9:23. And know the difference to His glory twice in this one verse. Here it is. Romans 9:23. And He did so to make known the riches of His glory. This is a reference to His divine attributes like love, mercy, upon vessels of Christians, believers, of mercy, which He prepared beforehand for glory. Now, you have been created by God, foreordained to praise for the glory of God. Ephesians 1:6, which we've already studied, but let's just look at it here. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And of course, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of results of works, so that no one may boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. Now, another wonderful passage on creation and glory, it goes all the way over to the book of Revelation. Revelation 4:11. Now, what you remember about Revelation 4, Revelation 2 and 3 deals with the churches, and then chapter 4 begins now with the study of the book of Revelation. And that's going to start off with the wonder of Jesus to be the leader of the time and during the revelation of Revelation. Worthy are you, talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your, You will be, they existed, because they were existed and were created. People, you've got to understand Genesis 1-11. Failure of understanding Genesis 1-11 going to mess up the whole Bible. The better you understand Genesis 1-11, the whole Bible sets into place. You've got to understand it. And it starts off with creation. Now, there are different views, but I think if we look at the Bible, we understand when He created and how He created. He did not create it in tohu va-bohu, in other words, in darkness. Genesis 1:2. That's not the way He created it. Stay in Isaiah, where it says He did not create it that way. He created it to be lived in by the angels. And then they had the rebellion and put everything into darkness. And that's Genesis 1:2. The movement of the Holy Spirit to open up the earth for the world. And then you go into the gospel, and then you got the bringing of man and woman, and just bring into all these parts that are just so beautiful as to God's wonderful plan. Okay, now, I hope that you have the real living goal in your life that we call, that we can talk about witnessing. We can talk about pressing to maturity. But the completeness of our being is to glorify God. Testing, or witnessing others, growing yourself, all these are wonderful things. But the whole reason for our being here is the glory of God. The earth was created in His glory. But sin and Satan polluted on the glory of God. That's what I was trying to say, the difference between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. The world started off in His glory, 1:1. And then it went into pollution, 1:2, with the disaster of the angelic conflict. So this is what we're dealing with here. People, please always remember that the earth will return to the glory of God. Ephesians 40 verse 5, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's summarize what we've been doing in this short period of glory. Glory is for the seeing of divine attributes. All creation is for the revelation of divine glory. We are created by the glory of God. We are created to glorify God. Praise God daily for His glory. Now, always remember the way you were created. Isaiah 43 verse 7. Everyone who is called by My name and whom I have created for My glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have created. Now let's go to the second point. Point two. Very simple point two. The book of Ephesians has revealed to us why we're here, why we're here on earth. Ephesians 1:6, to praise the glory of His grace. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1:14, to the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1:17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. 1:18, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Grant you, verse 3:16, grant you according to the riches of His glory. And 3:21, to Him be given the glory for the church in Christ Jesus. Now, Roman number 3, the mission. There's only 3 points in this study. The mission of the church. Say, what do you think is the mission of the church? Your mind. What is the mission? So many people have different missions of the church. But if we examine the Word of God, we can easily find the answer to what the mission of the church is. Not doing it another. Ephesians or Romans chapter 15:6, so that with one purpose and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. Romans chapter 15, verse 6. So that with one purpose and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:12. So that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in Him, in accordance with the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the mission of the church. Here is the mission of the church as proclaimed by the Word of God. How beautiful this is given to us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Whoever speaks is to do, whoever is to speak is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies by the Holy Spirit. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. We glorify God by worshiping Him. That's how we worship Him. That's how we glorify Him. Philippians 3:3, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God the Holy Spirit and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Note one of the few statements by John in Revelation 22:9. And he said to me, this is John speaking, do not do that. They were worshiping him. Do not do that. Do not worship me. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers and prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. There it is. Worship God. John 4:23. But an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. This is why we're here, to worship God in the glory of who and what He is. Now let's move into verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. So let's read that. In Him you also, after listening to the word of truth, this is a powerful verse, the gospel of your salvation, having also been believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me just read it so you can think through it. In Him you also are, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, that's the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him and with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now let's just look at it. In Him, that is in Jesus Christ. You also, you were, you who have been the first to hope in Christ before Israel, after listening to the word of truth. one of the greatest gifts from God for the creation is a gift of hearing. We must listen to the wonderful gift from God. We cannot get this gift without hearing. Listening is so important to the study of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, concerning Him, we have much to say, and it is difficult to explain, since you have become poor listeners. It's one of the horrible things to have to happen to a person. Poor listener. Children should learn that in school. People should learn it at home. Then learn it in school. Learn it in life. But most of them is in the study of the Bible. So many Christians are poor listeners. Many because they're talking. Why you don't have time to listen? Because you're talking. God has designed it that we must listen to the Word of God being taught by the Word. The only way we will get the truth of the Bible is being taught. It is essential to live, to life, to know and live by the truth of God's Word. Ephesians 1:13, in Him you also, after listening to the Word of truth. It is so difficult that in life people spend the time working for money, working having fun in life, miss out on living in the Word of God. People, we can go through life without wealth. We can go through life without freedom. But to live your life without the Word of truth is to waste your life. Now, let me just talk for a moment. Living without freedom. I love the American Patrick Henry. Give me liberty. Give me death. And I understand that. But you can live without liberty. You can live without freedom. I've been working on and going to work on communism, Marxism, and these type of things. Do you understand what they mean? Do you understand what being in a society of communism, day in and day out, being in a society of Marxism, to understand that, I want to go through it. Not now, but I'm working on it. I do it for a special on it. What does it mean to live under Marxism, socialism, communism? What does that mean? How does that differ from just our daily life under freedom? But people, you can live without freedom. You can live without freedom. But to live without the truth of God is to waste your life. In Him, you also, after listening to the Word of truth. Here, the Word of truth refers to the Word of the Gospel. The Word of truth refers to the Word of the Gospel. Hearing the Gospel, then believing the words of the Gospel, means you are sealed in Him. You have to hear the Gospel before you can be sealed in Him. You have to hear the Gospel, then believe the Gospel, then you'll be eternally sealed in Him. In Him, you also, after listening to the word of truth, and the word of truth is defined, the gospel of your salvation. Most beautiful phrases in the Bible. The gospel of your salvation. Here's the greatest word you can hear. The gospel of your salvation. The Greek word euangelia means good news. I'm almost 80 years old, and yet the most wonderful news I heard was when I was 7 years of age and I was afraid about dying. And my mother took me in her arms, gave me a simple, simple word, news, how to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved forever. That was the greatest news I heard for a child and for all my life. And I hope that every one of you tell your children the wonderful good news of the gospel. Here is the great news everyone should hear. Here is the good news that Jesus came and took our place on the suffering cross. For taking our place in bearing our sins in His own body on the cross. So many people never really have the fullness of the good news of the gospel. To most people, the gospel is that we're sinners, and the wages of sin is death. They are not quite sure even what that means. They never really heard it correctly. But people, this is bad news. The bad news is that we are sinners and under condemnation because of our sins. Sometimes it is best to give the bad news first. Maybe then they'll listen to the good news if you give them the bad news. Not many people really understand the bad news of the death and the good news of the work of Christ on the cross and put the two together. So therefore, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start in verse 1. Now, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you. Here is what we just noted, that this is what you want to listen to, which you also received. The gospel which I preached, which you also received. First you have to listen to the gospel, in which you also stand. After you listen to the good news, you have to believe the good news. By which you also are saved. You heard it, believe in it, you're saved. Here is how you are sealed in Him. If you hold firmly to the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. Believe in vain is not believe the gospel. To believe in vain is to add to the gospel. Now verse 3. For I handed down to you, listening to the gospel, as of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died, and for our sins according to the gospel, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. We cannot move on without sounding forth that without everyone hearing and listening to the news of the gospel. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When we listen to the news of the gospel, we often are not aware of the fact that the gospel is absolutely unique. It is unique. This is not something that men thinking up or dreamed up, pondered up. It is something that God has to reveal, something that the Holy Spirit must wake up in the soul. When Jesus Christ came to Adam and Eve in the garden, he did not send them, he did not find them coming up thinking about being saved. It isn't the way they're written. He found them trying to adjust to being saved or being living without salvation. They came up with good deeds, fig leaves, which did not work and still do not work today. But there they were in the garden. And the Messiah came and came to them, gave them good news of the gospel. He calls them to listen to the good news of the coming of the Messiah. They heard the news of the seed of the woman. This is all in chapters 1, 2, and 3. They did not, could not think of it, come up with such a wonderful idea all of their own. It was given to them by the Savior. In him, you also, after listening to the word of truth. Okay. In him, you also, after listening to the word of truth. And the word of truth is defined here. The gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him by the Holy Spirit of promise. Just let me take off my coat if you don't mind. Do what?
Breathe.
Yeah, just take a deep
breath.
Okay, here we go.
Do you need some water?
No.
Okay. Come on.
You bring some water.
Okay. Come on.
All right. There are books written on salvation. We could spend months on study of salvation. Sin, as true and so important, and Jesus Christ's death on the cross is true. But people, the greatest news for us to ever hear is our salvation. One, salvation is the word of the cross. Two, salvation is deliverance to eternal, perfect righteousness. Therefore, salvation is about eternal fellowship with God. Three, salvation secures from judgment. Four, judgment is by grace through faith. And five, salvation is not by works. Six, salvation is the gift of 34 things that God gave us at faith. Six, salvation is the escape from eternal death. Eight, salvation is being eternally secure in Christ, having eternal security. There are many blessings we can list. On the blessings from salvation. But here, seven or eight of them we'll take a look at. The first one, salvation is the word of the cross.
Hey, Herman?
Yes?
There's a stool behind you if you want to sit.
You know what? Well, I'll tell you about what I get to see. It came to learning and dealing with Matthew 24 and 25, dealing with Jesus Christ. He taught sitting down. He didn't teach standing up. So, there you go. That's right. Alright. One, salvation is the word of the cross. This is straight from 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who, being saved, is the power of God. So we learn that salvation is the power of God. Two, salvation is the deliverance of having perfect righteousness of God for all eternity. I want to repeat that. Salvation is the deliverance of having perfect righteousness of God for all eternity. I'm so sorry that so many pastors are those who write pamphlets on salvation, write little on salvation, on righteousness, or given, or even so not with talking about righteousness at all. They spend most of their time about removal of sins. But people, everyone is removed from personal sins by Jesus Christ's work on the cross. Everyone is already there. But this is the negative of the gospel. Now, for salvation, we want the positive of the perfect of salvation, and that is perfect righteousness of God. The perfect issue is how does the Word of God proclaim how we became righteous before God? We are never instructed to remove sins by faith, but many times it is to proclaim that it is by faith that we receive the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. This is the issue throughout the entire Bible. Note this all the way through the back to Abraham. Romans 4:9. Is this blessing then on circumcision or on the uncircumcision only? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. I'm not talking about sins. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Romans 4:22. And this is proclaimed about salvation by faith for righteousness over and over throughout the Word of God. Three, salvation secures us from judgment. I remember when I was 7 years old, I went to a good church. They were hellfire and brimstone. And to think about death, to think about hell, to think about judgment, was reality. I was just 6, 7 years old, and that was scary to me. Salvation secures from judgment. Please understand that there is judgment from the holiness of God for sin, but faith in Jesus Christ secures from judgment. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not judged. He one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, we should go through a long study on being judged for not believing in Jesus Christ. John 3:36, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son, how do you not obey? Not in faith, will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Here is the real issue in salvation. Either believe in Jesus Christ as Savior or spend eternity in judgment from God. John 11:23. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies physically. Every believer who dies physically before the rapture actually will live forever with Jesus Christ. But everyone who will not believe in Jesus Christ is judged from God for all eternity. Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Here again, being justified means that this person will not be judged by God for failure of believing in Jesus Christ. One is either judged by God or justified by God. You're either judged by him or justified. Being judged is one who has no salvation in them. Being justified is one who is saved by faith in Jesus Christ for eternity. And then again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Or, more accurately, in this verse, John 3:16, revised translation, in this manner, indeed, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Everyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ will be judged by God, and the judgment is the purpose eternally, perished eternally in the lake of fire. This is what salvation is about, how it's not being judged by God. Now, 4, salvation is by grace through faith. Faith is the only system of perception which is totally divorced of our human merit. Only the object has merit. And in salvation, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ himself. How much faith does it take to be saved? How much does it take? Just a little more than no faith at all. Ephesians 2:8. Now, John 6:47. Truly, truly, I say to you, who believes has eternal life, even righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for those who believe. Just little more than nothing to be saved. 5, salvation is by no works from man. The salvation by work of Christ is on the cross excludes anything being added to our faith. Ephesians 2:8-2:9, salvation by grace, salvation by works is blasphemy and no salvation. 6, salvation is the gift of God. That's so beautiful. Salvation is a grace of God, gift of God. Ephesians 1:13 deal with listening and asking for the gift of salvation is seen in John 4:10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Here's a Samaritan woman is talking to Jesus about him who knew this, the gift of God, and that is the gift of salvation. Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The gift of our salvation is justified by his grace. Romans 5:15 and 17. Romans 5:17, for if by the offense of the one death reigned through the one, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in him, reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We have seen salvation is righteousness, and here it is declared by grace, gift to us by grace through faith. The next gift contains two parts of the gift from God. Romans 6:4, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partners of the Holy Spirit. Here's the gift. It's called the heavenly gift, but only includes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also noted in as the gift in Acts 3:38 and 10:48. Now, 7. Salvation is the gift from eternal death. Salvation is a gift from eternal death. Romans 6:4. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. The assurance that this is sound, in the correcting reading of verse 8. Romans 6:8, Revised Translation. Now, since we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, Colossians 3:3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, talking about our physical death here. 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wound you were sealed. Now, again, we learned that while we have the assurance that we will not die, but live in eternity. We have eternity with his perfect righteousness. Romans 6:4, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in the newness of life. And finally, point eight, salvation is being eternally secure in Christ, having eternal security. This is what we are seeing in Ephesians 1:13, where we are sealed in Him. Ephesians 1:13, in Him. You also, after listening, after listening to the word of truth, and the word of truth is defined, the gospel of your salvation, have also believed, you were sealed in Him by the Holy Spirit of promise. We'll finish this point next Sunday morning. Closing a word. Yes. Oh, let's close in a word of prayer. We glorify you. We fall on our knees and give you glory, because you've given to us eternal life, because we will be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. We glorify you. This is our joy. No matter what is happening in history, no matter what is happening in our own life, in our government, we rest in glory in you. Pray, Father, your Spirit will take the understanding of your glory that we've studied, that will be taken by your salvation to live in your glory. Pray, Father, your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, use these to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.